Father, what we want is to hear your voice. What we need is to hear your voice. We need to see who Jesus is. We want to turn to him, receive healing, forgiveness, and grace to live. I pray that this morning, this word would do that in our lives as we've come to smell the aroma of Christ. Make us hungry, Lord. Make us hungry. Amen. Amen. Wind, waves, and water. Before I go there, I get to do this when I have the mic. Where's my brother? Wave, Ian. That's my younger brother, the better looking one. Welcome. He's from Tassie, Tasmania. My first time Afrikaans. Okay. Yeah, so I'm talking about wind, waves, and water this morning. You can turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. It's a story we know pretty well. So I want to ask you to just park your assumptions about this account about the storm. And let's look at it afresh, right? Because what we need this morning is we need to see the gospel of Jesus Christ and what it means for us, right? We need to respond to that. So I'm going to be reading, mostly parked off in Mark chapter 4. So you can actually keep your Bibles open there from verse 35. Let's read it through once. On that day, so this day was quite a hectic day. If you read the beginning of the chapter and even a bit before that, I think, Jesus really worked on this day. And there was a lot of stuff happening. And there's like encounters with people and Pharisees and parents and siblings and all kinds of things happening here and teaching happening. And it says, on that day, right, when evening had come, he said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose. And the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Peter is the one who dictates the Gospel of Mark, and he has one goal in sight. You see, John writes the Gospel of John, and he gives us the answer at the end as to why he's writing it. He says so that you may believe. Peter is like, he just jumps in with it, right? So verse 1, chapter 1, we see why has Peter felt the Holy Spirit wants him to record these accounts, right? So we go to verse, I think it's up there, Mark 1:1. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is the message of Mark. Peter's like, this is what you guys need to understand about everything that I'm recording here. It's pointing us to the gospel, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Right. So we need to go, okay, what does this account actually reveal to us about Jesus the Christ? He's the anointed one. That's what Christ means. It's from the Greek, which is the Greek word for Messiah. He's the anointed one. Right? So we go, and we must think a little bit, what would a Jew, when he's reading this account of that we just read through, what would he be thinking about? He's reading this, he's hearing Peter, who's also a Jew, and he's thinking about Jonah. Anybody else think about Jonah when you read this account? Not many Jews in the house, okay. Jonah, let's read. And just listen to, I've just taken some portions out of the account in Jonah. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so the ship threatened to break up. We know before this, Jonah actually fled from where he was supposed to go, so he gets on a boat in the opposite direction as to where he's supposed to be going. So he's disobedient. Then the mariners, we'll go with that, were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give you a thought to us that we may not perish." And then later on, they have this conversation, and Jonah kind of gets exposed. He doesn't volunteer, and then he gets the trek loikis, and it's like, okay, Jonah, you're the guy. Why is this happening? He's like, okay, oh, this is why it's happening. I'm not supposed to be here. And he convinces them, look, you guys have to pick me up, throw me in the sea. They don't want to do it, but he convinces them, and then we read, "So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows." So they all became worshippers of Yahweh. And they were praising other gods or praying to other gods. Before that, in this account, they become worshippers of Yahweh. Right? That's the Lord. And so a Jew is hearing this account of the disciples on the Sea of Galilee. He's going, well, this sounds like Jonah, but it's not like Jonah, but it's like Jonah, but it's not like Jonah. Because there's similarities and there are differences, big differences. And so we start, obviously Jesus is not being disobedient and neither are the disciples who follow him. So they being obedient, Jonah was being disobedient. Right? And then we see, obviously, the storm comes. In Jonah, it's judgment. Jonah's asleep when the storm comes through. Jesus is asleep. We see both of them get woken up. The answer to Jonah's co-sailors is Jonah must go into the sea. Jesus arises and he rebukes the windstorm and he speaks, "Peace, be still," to the swells, the sea, and it's calm. So both of them end with this, and it's calm, right? There's a great calm. So they're going, okay, this is like Jonah, but here's Jesus not being disobedient. Jonah had a message of reconciliation, of repentance to Nineveh that he had to bring, that was mercy to Nineveh, that he was disobedient in not wanting to bring. And Jesus is obedient. And he's on the mercy mission, but not just for Nineveh. He's on the mercy mission for the world. So the Jews who hear this, they read this, they're like, wow, Jesus is better than Jonah. That's the first takeaway here for them, is Jesus is better than Jonah. And then the second, they go, okay, so Jesus, Jonah, it required Jonah being thrown into the water. Jesus rises and he stands and he rebukes and he speaks. Which makes them think, okay, what's the difference here? What's this? The Jesus the Christ, what is it about him? And they will maybe think of this psalm, Psalm 93, verse 4. It says, "Mightier than the thunders of many waters, mightier than the waves of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty." They're taking note. Jesus is not just somebody. Fully God, fully man. And when he speaks, creation listens. And so as an introduction, when we read this account, we should think about, okay, what did the Jews hear when they read this? They were like, well, okay, so here's Jesus, better than Jonah, bringing mercy, bringing a message to the whole world, and he has authority that he speaks, and even creation listens. It's actually quite a change for them. Jesus wasn't thrown into the sea for this to happen. So, that's not where I'm going. This is just introduction. Because it's in this account, you know, if we see, okay, this draws us to Jesus, this shows us something about Jesus, and we then buy into this, we become like the disciples who okay, they hear Jesus say, "Let's go to the other side," so they get into the boat. And we want to be following as well like that. We go, okay, well, this Jesus has now been revealed to us. He's the Christ, the Son of God. This is the message. So now we hear him say, "Let's go to the other side." And that's what I want to actually go and break down for us as we go through this account again, step by step. If we can put up, I think it's verse 35 and 36. Because, you know, I want to go to 1 Corinthians 10. In case you think I'm on a tangent here, Paul writes about the Old Testament, but this is just as applicable to especially the accounts in the New Testament. He says, "Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come." It's way better to listen to instruction than to be the example. Right? So we look at this account in Mark, and we want to go, okay, we want to take away the instruction here. We want to respond to what God is saying to us in this account. And we're so quick to go, oh, but those guys missed it again. They missed it again. We are missing it again and again and again ourselves. But we want to read this account and go, okay, how do we not miss what's actually going on here? How do we not miss Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, in this account being revealed to us, the gospel about him? So let's look at it again. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us go across to the other side. You see, that's our starting point. There has to be a moment where you decide, I'm going to follow the voice of Jesus. No one put them in the boats. No one forced them to go in the boat with Jesus. Jesus said, let us go to the other side. Okay, Jesus, we will go with you to the other side. We need to start with that response to Jesus. But that only starts to take us in the boat with Jesus. We're not necessarily yet understanding what's happening in the gospel. And this was them. They were like, okay, we just follow, we do what he says, we're going to go, we go in the boat over. And then we read, they leave the crowd, they took him with him in the boat just as he was, and other boats were with him. Yo, I never noticed that before in this account. A couple of months ago, I read this, I was like, there were other boats? Okay. Imagine what they were going through. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. Once again, we must park here for a moment. And we go, okay, so these guys haven't been disobedient. Right? They followed Jesus. But here's the thing. A windstorm actually represents something, especially in the Old Testament. It's a sudden storm. It's a sudden judgment. Right? That's what they're thinking. It's a sudden judgment because storms are representative of the judgment of God. We see that in Jonah. God sent a storm. It wasn't the devil. Right? So there's this moment where they are thinking, okay, their theology is saying to them, this storm is the judgment of God. And in a sense, that's what it symbolizes. And hang on here with me. Okay, we're going to get somewhere. But that's in a sense what this storm, this windstorm symbolizes, is our separation from God because of our rebellion. Exposes us to judgment, to the wrath of God. This is where windstorms, what it represents here. And the windstorm does something else here. Because a wind on water causes waves. And that represents something else to us as well. In our lives, when we sin, in our rebellion against God, and we sin, it causes ripples in the water. It causes, and they build, and they build, and they build, because the wages of sin is death. This is what they're experiencing. There's the separation from God is the what's happening, and that's causing the windstorm that's blowing on the water, and the wind causes waves to build up, and that's as the, and these are what's breaking into the boat. You see, we sometimes, and I want to be gentle here. We read this account and we immediately think about a storm in our life. What's actually happening in your life is water in your boat that could make you drown. You can do nothing about the windstorm, as much as we have no control over the weather. And these guys are in the boat, and this represents for them their separation, and it represents from God, and it represents the consequences of the lives we live. The waves that are breaking into our boats, and it's threatening us to drown. Our boats are filling up. And our world specializes in pump systems, trying to get the water out. Because the world can do nothing about the cause of the water in the boat. It's a windstorm causing waves breaking to the boat. And this is where we find these disciples. They are in this boat. And the boat is filling up. And then we read, you see, And this is the point of the story, but then Jesus. We have the wind, we have the waves, and the boat's filling up, but Jesus. That's where I want us to go today as well. Because they go to Jesus. They're busy skipping water 8. And this is where they're going. But he's in the stern, asleep on the cushion. How can Jesus be asleep? He knew the storm was coming. He's God. But he's asleep. He had a long day. And he knows he's in right standing with the Father. You know, as a father, he does not do anything that he does not see the Father do. He does not say anything that he does not hear the Father say. He's in right standing. So he can go to sleep. He knows the storm's coming. But he's in right standing, so he's got no fear. But he's in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" In other words, in a sense, they're saying, help a big escape. Okay? I want to jump. I think I've got 2 photos of this boat. Can we just jump to the boat pictures? So the first one, let's go to the first one. So this they had discovered. This is actually a boat that they recovered that actually comes from the time of Jesus in the Sea of Galilee. It was sunk and buried. So you can see, I kept this one because the guys are there for scale, because we need to understand the size of this boat. And then they took this one, they rebuilt it. And that's the next photo. That's what it looks like. So Jesus at the back, sleeping on a cushion, probably a sandbag kind of cushion to balance the boat. Right, so this is what it looks like. There's room for about 15 men on here. It's just over 8 meters long, 2.5 meters wide almost. So this is the boat that they were busy sailing over, this kind of boat. Help us make it 8 skip, because if we're 12 plus 1, that's 13, maybe we got a chance of getting this water out. And Jesus knows we don't have to solve right now the water in the boat. We have to solve the cause of the water in the boat. This is what Jesus does. So when we understand this is revealing the gospel to us, Jesus arises and he rebukes the windstorm. Another way to say that is he redirects the windstorm, because they are thinking this is judgment on us. You see, on the cross, Jesus took on our sin, faced the judgment of God. So when Jesus is facing a windstorm that represents the judgment of God, he can rise and rebuke it and redirect it. He has that authority. That's what he does on the cross. He takes the judgment of our sin so that he can give us his righteousness. We can be justified as if we never sinned and as if we always obeyed like him. So he rebukes the windstorm, and it's emphasized twice. Later in the story, it talks about the wind and the waves, because he deals with the windstorm first. That's the judgment because of our separation, our rebellion. He takes on himself on the cross. So he's prophesying in this moment to the crucifixion. And then the second thing he does is he says to the waves, which are the consequence, our lifestyle of being sinners that sin, right? You don't become a sinner because you sin. You're born with a sinful nature, so you sin. And that causes a lot of waves and ripples, and they build up and they start breaking into your boat and someone else's boat, and the water starts filling up. That's the second thing Jesus does. He says, peace, be still. Because the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God in Christ Jesus is life, is eternal life. And that is going to solve what's causing the water to get into the boat. Right? Do we see that? That's what he does on the cross. He deals with our separation so we can draw near to the Father, and he deals with our guilt for our sin. So he can rebuke, redirect the judgment because it was directed at him. Right, not me, him. And he can silence the consequences. We no longer suffer eternal death for our sin. We can live now for him. That's good news to me. Yeah. Anyway, so we see here, before we get to the water in the boat, Jesus is dealing with the water that's, why it's coming into the boat. And there was a great calm. And then he turns to them. And this is, imagine this, we are on the boat as well. And he turns to us as well. Because this is what he says. He turns to me, said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? What did he start with? Why were they crossing over? Let us go over. This is his word. He watches over it to fulfill it. Jeremiah 1. Have you still no faith? Why are you so afraid? You're responding to the water out of a place of fear. I know the cause, and I'm coming to stop the cause of this water in your boat. We don't need a better pump system. Jesus could have spoken about a pump system into the boat. That's not what he does. Deals with the windstorm, deals with the waves, then there's a great calm. Why? And this is not an accusation, it's an invitation to them. Do you now see who I am? You did not see rightly who I am. You panicked in your fear. Do you now see who I am? I am the Lord that is referred to in Psalm 93. I am mighty over the waves. That's our invitation. We want to read this for our instruction. Right? As Paul writes, we want to read these accounts for our instruction. And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Once again, that distinction. They understood, okay, Jesus did something with the wind and he did something with the sea. And now we know, okay, well, that is what he was doing. See, in our lives, we have a lot of water that starts filling our boats. You take a phone call, suddenly you got water coming into your boat. You go see the doctor. Suddenly there's a lot of water coming into your boat. You have a work meeting. Suddenly there's a lot of water coming into your boat. I don't know what water is in your boat. I know what water is coming to my boat. And I can spend so much time, Lord, are you asleep? Can't you help me skip a bikkie water here? So now I must go back. I must say, Lord, you know, you've paid for this windstorm. You can redirect this. I don't have to earn these wages. Yes, I sinned. Please forgive me. Oh, it's on the cross. Okay. We can go to that place. We see the water in our boat. We go to the gospel first. We don't start making plans. Oh, okay, now we're going to get this specialized water pump system. We start going, okay, what has happened here? What has happened here? That's causing this to come in. Okay, it all relates back to our rebellion, which Jesus reconciled us to the Father on the cross. So we come from that place. We start to understand, okay, I see this has broken into my boat. This water has been filling here. But you know what? Jesus has paid the price to silence these waves that are roaring over my voice. These waves are roaring over my voice. They cannot roar over his voice. Do we see that? Do we see that? That's what I want us to take away here this morning is in this place where I see again what Jesus did on the cross, where he took the judgment, and where he paid the price. Then I can experience the calm that follows. That's what happened here. It doesn't refer to the water again. Why not? Well, it's calm now. Now we don't have to panic anymore. We don't have to just respond in fear to this water in the boat. The sea is like glass now. Now all of us can skip the water out and it actually makes sense. It actually makes sense to now start taking the water out of the boat and we get to the other side. And there's something here that I want us to see. You see, Jesus said, let us go to the other side, and he got them all to the other side. And we are in the boat together, all of us. And sometimes we feed one another this fear. Help my skip, help my skip, help my skip. No, what we should be doing is, no, well, let's just take a moment here and see what's the cause here. What's the windstorm? What's the waves? Where are they coming from? Jesus has paid for this. He can speak to this so we can, in calm with him, skip the water out. Because if you're just going to keep taking the water out, it's going to keep coming in. What we want to do is in a calm place. We want that environment. Okay. And that's the place where we are all together in this boat. We get to do that with one another. Once we've realized, okay, this is where we're at. I can come with you and you can say to me, look, in my workplace, I'm drowning with this. And I can say, let's not fear. Let's go. Let's take this water out together now that we have this peace, this calm. In my marriage, this is where I can let the gospel do its work. In my marriage, we can carry one another's burdens, which requires taking the water out of the boat. That's what we want. We don't want to be specializing in coping mechanisms, boat pumping mechanisms. What we want is, okay, we are in this together. Let's address, okay, this was a sin. Right. What happened? Okay. Take it to the cross. And from that place, we can experience peace. From that place of knowing Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sin on the cross. From that place, we can go, okay, now you've got this challenge in your marriage. From that place, we can have calm. We can talk about it. We can now skip the water out. I want to take us to why. See, so that makes us get to the other side together, because that's the word that's been spoken for us. But it does something else as well. Remember the other boats? There were other boats with him. When the world that's trying to follow Jesus, but they haven't quite understood the gospel, when they see this, they were also in the storm, taking on water. When they see Jesus do this in your life, in your marriage, in your workplace, that's amazing. Then they're like, wow, I want to know that Jesus, right? I've made it through. I see why we made it through. There's peace in your place. There's peace being ministered. I want that as well. And then secondly, we read immediately in the next chapter, we've got a guy. Chapter 5. They came to the other side of the sea, all of them, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. There's a Gentile guy possessed by a legion of demons. He's on the other side. He sees the storm, thinking it's judgment. Guys are about to drown. He's seen this play out before. Because the Sea of Galilee, this happens like this. Right? It's like very low and there are very high mountains. So you'd be sailing pleasantly and then 10 minutes later, boom. Windstorm, sink. Drown. So he's seen this story before. Oh, you're struggling with pornography in your marriage. I've seen that before. This guy is standing there watching. And the next moment, it's calm. Wow. Everyone's in awe of somebody on a boat. He's standing. Everyone else is like trying to skip water. And he steps out on the land. He goes, this guy, this man, I'm coming to him. And that's what the world needs to see around us. And for us, it starts with once again coming back to the gospel. What does it do? What did Jesus do? Not what must we do, it's what did he do. And we respond to what he did and apply that to what we are faced with. And the world sees that. Doesn't matter, this guy's got a legion of of demons. He's about as possessed as you can get. But when he sees the Son of God do this in their lives, ain't no legion holding him back. That's what we want to see in our communities. We want to see that in our friendships, in our relationships. We want to see, doesn't matter what's going on there, if they can see Jesus calm the storm so that there's an environment where you can take the water out, they come running. That's what I trust for. Paul's a specialist at boat sinking stuff. We had that sermon. 4 shipwrecks. Paul in Romans 5. You don't have to put it up. I just want to read it for us. Romans 5 verse 9. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. The ability to take water out of your boat is grounded in the reconciliation that Jesus has already performed. Not grounded in your ability. It's based solely on what he has already done. Will you stand with me? I don't know what water is filling your boat. While we are in this life, there will always be water coming. But we can go back to the one every time. And I don't know what your relationships are like, but I want to invite you. In this house, we place such a premium on us being together in a boat. Once we respond to the gospel, we want to together. We want to together take water out of boats. Because that testifies to your life, testifies to my life, testifies to the world. That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. I want to pray for us. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you reveal the gospel of your Son to us every day that we can respond to. Father, I don't know what is in whose boat. I know what we need, though. We need to see again the one who calms the sea, the one who rebuked the windstorm. Because he can create the environment for the calm, so we can get the water out. And wherever you are, I just want to invite you to ask the Lord to come and show you the cause, the source, whatever it is, of the waves breaking into your boat. And I want to ask you to trust him to speak, because he can redirect, he can rebuke, and it goes away. He can calm with a word those wages that are roaring at us. He can create that calm that we need in order to get this water out. So wherever you are, just respond to the Lord, not to me. And if you want to pray with someone else in the boat, and you don't know the person next to you, you're welcome to come to the front so we can pray with you about that. And really trust Jesus to come and speak as only he can. For the rest, I'm going to dismiss the service. Father, I pray that as we go from this place, that we would daily that we would daily respond to what Jesus has already done, so we can see and move in that place to deal with the water that's filling, that's threatening us, that wants to make us fear. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.